And today, Jim is going to go ahead and start passing out a card to you. It's a blank half-sheet cardstock. Everybody should get one. And then if you need a pen, he has a pen for you to be able to write. If you don't, if you have your own pen, then that's fine. But if you need one, just let him know. He's going to pass those out to you. And as while he's doing that, I'm going to get started. So we started on this journey, kind of leading up to the 90th celebration, which is in a couple of weeks, and this idea of remembering. And if we started out looking at Joshua, and when the 12 tribes of Israel crossed over the Jordan River, they stacked up 12 rocks. And so you can see our 12 rocks are standing there. We call the series 12 Stones. It's just a way to remember what God has done in the life of His people. And so that was the reason why he did it. There was nothing magical about the rocks that day. They were just a way to remember. There's nothing magical about the number for us in that we are not a part of the 12 tribes of Israel. There's something meaningful to them because it represents each tribe. But for us, the number isn't as significant because we're not a part of those tribes. And so you have one rock in your hand. So everybody should have one. This is yours to keep. And you'll understand why we have one, why you just have one. In a little while, you'll have an opportunity to come and grab more if you would like. It's not mandatory, but you can come and grab more. We have a bag here for you to put them in, so you're not walking around with however many rocks you have, and you can carry those home with you. And you'll understand in a few minutes why we're doing that. So humans spend a lot of time doing things to remember. We spend a lot of times erecting stone tablets or stone monuments to people. We have things all over the country that help us remember where we've been and who's helped lead us there and where we go. We have things to help us remember our family members and all the different things, the major events in our life. You know, the first week we talked about all the scrapbooks that Beth has and helps us remember where we are with our children and the things that happen in our marriage. And unfortunately for Patrick, he doesn't get as many as Maggie because Maggie was first, you know, and she gets 100 scrapbooks and poor Patrick only gets 50. Just kidding. But we do that. We do things to help us remember. There's nothing wrong with that. There's actually something good about that. It's how we are created. God has created us that way. And to have this attitude of remembering in our daily lives is something good for us to have. It helps us remember what God has done. But a lot of times we remember the stuff. We celebrate holidays. We do things like that to help us remember national events. But do we ever actually remember the things God has done for us? Do we mark ways that God, we can remember what God has done in our lives personally today? Not something that happened to our grandfather, not something that happened to our, you know, ancestor. Those are good things to remember, but something that happened to us and how God has moved in our lives. Because it helps us stay connected to Him. And last week we talked about how Jesus brought His disciples together and had a last meal together. And that last meal was not unlike the other ones because they all had several Passovers with them. But this one was different because He started talking differently about ways to remember what is about to happen. For them, it had not happened yet. The sacrifice that He was going to make, to spend time remembering that sacrifice. And He says in the Scriptures, "Do this in remembrance of Me." And so, today we're going to spend some time in silence. And everybody's like, yes, awkward. Can't wait. And that's okay. It's okay if it's awkward. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're not a quiet person. I'm not a quiet person. I don't tend to be quiet very often. My daughter is very much like me. Maybe even more so. She talks constantly. And being quiet takes an effort to stop and slow down and be quiet. And we've done things like this before, but this one we're going to spend some time looking at Scripture and trying to begin to remember what God has done in our own personal lives. Next week we're going to couple what we do today with next week where we're going to talk about it corporately, out loud, and give you an opportunity to talk about what God has done in your life and maybe in the life of our church and how we have been a part of that. Because we live life in community. We live, even if you feel like this is your community, we all do that. Very few of us live in a cabin in the woods by ourselves and have no contact with anyone. We all have connection with people. And so I'm going to look in the book of Deuteronomy today. So you can turn there, chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. And the entire book of Deuteronomy is actually Moses telling them one last time, remember. I didn't count it, but the word remember in Deuteronomy is there a lot. I didn't count the number up, but it's all over the place. And so basically this is his last sermon, if you will, his last opportunity to talk to the people of Israel before they go in the promised land. He's not allowed to go. He's not going to go. God has said, you're not going to go. Joshua's going to lead them in. You're not going to. So he's taking this one last opportunity to talk to them. And he's preparing their hearts and their minds of what's about to happen to them and helping them remember what's going on so that they can be ready. And if you go through the whole book of Deuteronomy, you can just see him reminding them of where they've been and how God brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery, and how they walked to the Jordan River and how they sent spies in. And he's reminding them of this over and over again. It's 40 years since it happened. He's reminding them of the spies they sent in and how everybody said, no, we don't want to go in. It's too scary. And their sin and the reason why they had to wander in the desert. He's reminding them of all of these things and helping them understand. He gets to chapter 4 and he kind of helps conclude that first thought that he had in chapter 4. And we're going to read chapter 4, 1 through 14. And this is what Moses says to his people. It says, hear now, O Israel, the decrees and the laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Basically, listen to about what I'm about to say. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God followed the Baal of Peor, but all of you who held fast the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I've taught you your decrees and laws as the Lord God commanded, my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering in to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show you wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as a body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when He said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire in the very heavens. With black clouds and deep darkness, the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you His covenant, the Ten Commandments, which He commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So again, he's reminding them of this moment where they stood at the mountain and God brought the commandments, and they were actually fearful. If you go back and read that example, they were afraid because God was so powerful in that moment. And Moses was able to get the laws. But in verse 9 and verse 10, let's read those again. He says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. He says, remember the day you stood at the mountain. Remember. Do not forget. Remember the things that I've taught you. Remember these moments because they're very important. They're not just only important to you. They're important to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. They're important because they help form who we are. They help form our faith. They help form our relationship with God. They help us develop our time with Him. So we're going to do that right now. We're going to spend some time remembering. Now, we are not a people that, like the children of Israel who were traveling from place to place together. We're not a people like that. We have different experiences. We have experiences that are separate from each other. We have corporate experiences. We have experiences that God is shaping in our own personal lives. And that's what I want us to remember today. So on your piece of paper, just take out the piece of paper and just simply write the word remember on top of it. And I'm about to go through some time for, I mean, remind you of some things you can be thinking about and praying about in the next few minutes that God is going to help maybe remind you of how He's worked in your life or maybe still is working in your life. Now, some people can call this meditation. That's an okay word. There's nothing wrong with the word meditation. There's Eastern meditation where you sit around and hope that some weird, you know, feng shui thing happens. I'm not talking about that. I'm not going to order the room just in such a way. Actually, Christian meditation is a practice that we practice in our faith a lot. Christian meditation, very simply, is the ability to hear God's voice and obey His Word. The truth is that God, that the great God of the universe, the Creator of all things, desires our fellowship. And this is a time that we can then fellowship with Him right now. So our meditation, hopefully, we can create some emotional and spiritual space, which allows God and allows Jesus to construct some sanctuary in our hearts right now for us to just meditate. Now, in preparation for this, you know, whenever I'm doing this stuff and I'm getting ready for this, I'm always thinking about who's going to be in the audience. But there's often people who show up that I don't even know. And I know maybe you don't have a relationship with our church and maybe this is a new for you today. But I don't think this has anything to do specifically with our church only. God moves in all of our hearts. I don't even know where everybody in this room is spiritually. Maybe you're very early on in your relationship with God. Maybe you're not anywhere at all. But God can speak to you today if you will simply open your heart to Him and spend some time. If you read Revelation 3:20, it says, "I see, I stand at the door and knock." And if you're around the church a long time, you think, well, that's Jesus knocking on the people who don't know Him's heart because He wants in so He can be a part of their life. And that's not untrue. It's true. But if actually John wrote those letters to a church, so really, the context in which John was writing is that Jesus is standing at the door of our hearts and knocking. And He wants into our heart so He can commune with us on a regular basis. So hopefully today will be a time for you to remember. As we are getting closer to our 90th anniversary, and on the anniversary day when we're all here, we're going to have a bunch of people that are from our past, and we'll be talking about what God has done through generations, through decades in our life, and those are all fun things, but I don't want us to just maintain the past. I want us to think about what God is doing in the present, and that maybe will hopefully lead us to a place where He's working with us in the future and changing our lives on a daily basis. So, you have your piece of paper, you have the word remember on top, and I'm going to go through some things. And the rock simply is a way for you to remember. It's just a miniature version of this. Just a miniature version. It's yours to keep. Maybe you don't really care what your car looks like, you can just glue it to the top of your dashboard. And every time you see it, you drive and you know it reminds you of something. Maybe you like your car more than that. Maybe you want to put it on the windowsill of your, in front of your sink in your kitchen. So every time you see it, it reminds you of something. You want to get maybe a marker and write something on it. Next week, as a part of our worship together, we're going to have more of these that we're going to do corporately. That hopefully one of these items that we're about to talk about, maybe God is speaking to you, will mark a moment in your life that you want to share corporately. And we're going to take the rocks, we're going to bring them forward. We're actually going to create a piece of artwork that we're going to hang on our wall. That will be a reminder of how God has moved in our life as a corporate body. individually coming together. For us, I'll give you an example. For us, on Friday, we have a court case for Patrick. Very well could be the day that would mark the moment that we can begin adoption procedure to be able to adopt him. That's going to be a moment in my life, which you guys share on a regular basis. So those kinds of things that God is moving in our life. So maybe this is one, and in a few minutes, we're going to sing a song at the end, and you can come and get. If you, maybe a lot of this sparks many things that God is doing in your life, and you want to have 6 rocks or 25 rocks. So don't get 25. I don't know if there's enough for everybody to have 25. But as many rocks as you want, you can come and grab as many as you want, and so they can, you maybe you can stack up your own stack at your house. It helps you remember. It's not an idol. It's not a stone thing that you worship. It's just a way to help us remember what God is doing in our life. So, after I say this first thing, we're going to spend some time quietly. Daniel's just going to play some music quietly, just to be able for us to focus. But just begin to pray, even right now, that God would open your heart and your mind to Him. So we're going to begin to talk about different things. These are just my things that I've been thinking about that God put on my heart. Ways that we can remember what God has done. Has God healed you in some way in your life? Now that may not be physically. Has God healed you emotionally? Was there an emotional scar from your past that God has walked into, stepped into, and healed you? Has God healed you physically? Maybe you had cancer and you've been healed from it. Maybe you're going through healing even right now. Has He healed someone close to you? That you can praise Him for that. Is there a unique moment that you can remember in this healing that you can write down, that you can remember, that you can say, thank you, God, for that moment. You changed my life in that moment. So Daniel's going to play some music. We're just going to spend some few times thinking about healing. How has God healed you? And in that, thank Him for being a God who heals. So let's just spend a few minutes together. God, we just thank You for the fact that You are God who heals. That You heal us emotionally, physically, spiritually, God. We pray that You would continue doing so in our lives. And we pray that we would remember and thank You for what You've done. Amen. Now as I keep going, if none of these strike you, that's fine. If you want to, when we get quiet here in a few minutes, you want to go back to that one, and that's totally okay. You don't have to write any of these down if you don't want to. If there's one that's different than what I say, let God work in your life in whatever way today. One of the other ones I thought of is in relationships. Where has God moved in your relationships? Has God restored a relationship? Does God still need to restore a relationship you have right now? Is there someone you need to be talking to and praying for and hoping that God will restore that relationship? The Scripture tells us that we have a ministry of reconciliation, that God is a God that brings together, not a God that divides when it comes to our relationships. So as we just take a few minutes, where is God in your relationships, and has He restored one that you want to praise Him for and thank Him for being a God who restores? So let's do that now. God, we thank you that you are a God who restores relationships, who can heal pain and difficulty, who can bring people together who seem to be miles apart. God, we thank you that you are a God who can knock down walls simply by having people march around them and blowing trumpets. God, we pray that you would continue to heal us and repair relationships and restore relationships in our lives. Lord, we praise you for the ones that you have. Help us remember those. Pray this in your name. Amen. The next one is charity. The word charity. It's kind of got a broad meaning. Has God intervened in your life anywhere at all when it comes to your finances? Has God taught you anything about giving sacrificially? Can you remember a time where God has used you to help someone else? Can you remember a time when you gave someone something or you gave something even when it didn't fiscally make sense? It wasn't responsible financially, but God blessed you because you obeyed Him. Where has God intervened in your life? Where can you remember that God has stepped in and God has helped you in that area? Maybe He still is right now. Thank Him right now for being a God who gives abundantly all that we need. So let's spend some time doing that. God, we thank you that you are a God who provides for our needs, that you care about where we live and what clothes we wear and the fact that we have those things, God. We pray that you would continue to grow us up in this area of our lives, that we would see more and more and more how we can live like you, which is to live in a sacrificial way. God, thank you for the moments where you've stepped in and intervened. God, thank you for the moments where we've learned what it means to rely on you. God, for those specific times where we were able to do that. Lord, I pray we were able to remember that you provide abundantly to those you love. We pray this in your name. Amen. So finally, I want to talk about faith, our faith, and our obedience to Him. Where do you remember, can you remember when you gave your life to Christ, that you decided to follow Him? What was unique about that moment? What was unique about the moment where you decided to follow Jesus and say, I'm going to do that? You're obedient to Him. Is there a time in your life where God told you to do something specific and you were obedient and He honored you for that? Can you remember a specific situation? Maybe today you don't follow Jesus, or maybe there's a place in your area of your life where you're not being obedient. Maybe today is a moment where you need to be more obedient. Maybe God's speaking to you in that area today. So as we pray right now and thank God for the hope that we have in His salvation, thank Him for being a God who saves. Thank Him for being a God who is patient with us and is kind. Let's do that now. God, we thank you today that you are a God who loves us, who is patient with us, who is kind to us, Father, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for our sin so that we can continue to have a relationship with you. That you pursued us, Father. God, I pray right now that we would continue to be obedient to you. That we would continue to remember where you have been faithful. And God, right now I pray that if we are not faithful in an area right now, God, we would turn it over to you. Whether that be our life and salvation or a specific area that we just simply are afraid to turn over to you, God, that we would be obedient. And that today we would not forget what you have done for us and we remember the promises that we have in you and the hope we have in salvation. I pray this in your name. Amen. Our worship band is going to come. I'm going to close this out with a passage of Scripture. And today is not hopefully the end of this for you. Hopefully today is just the beginning of remembering. Moses says at the very end of Deuteronomy, as he's about to leave and go up on the mountain and not go with the people, he says, Moses, and this is Deuteronomy 32:44. Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of the song in his hearts and the hearing of the people. When Moses finished reciting all these words to all of Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of the law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Moses' words were not special. They're not life because Moses spoke them. They're life because they help the people remember what God has done in their life. They help them stay connected with God. And hopefully today, these words will help you continue to stay connected. So as we're singing, if you'd like to come forward and grab a bag and take some rocks home and put them in a place to help remember, you're welcome to do that. You have the one that you have. If that's all you want, that's totally fine. Don't make this a weird thing where you pick a whole bunch and they sit in the floorboard of your car unless that's where you want to remember. Just kidding. So please, if you want to come forward, you can. You can come forward and take these with you. And then next week, maybe spend the week thinking about where God has marked your life. And come back with one you would want to share. And we'll spend some time sharing with one another where God has moved in our life. Let's pray.